From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go to your questions in just a moment. I want to say just a few words about finding a good church. It's a question that I'm frequently asked on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And so I feel very strongly that we must know what we're aiming at in order to hit the target. And the first sign of a healthy, well-balanced church is a pastor who is committed to leading the community of faith in the worship of God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word. Any church focused on that, while they might be lay-led or pastor-led, is a church that is aiming at the right target. Secondly, I think it's critical that a church exercises the full extent of what it means to demonstrate to a watching world the oneness we have in Jesus Christ. We're never called to be Lone Ranger Christians. We are called to a community of faith, which we enter through faith in Jesus Christ, which we solidify in obedience by baptism, by which we say, I am no longer willing to say Caesar is Lord, I am now saying Christ is Lord. And thirdly, I think that it is critical that in a healthy, well-balanced church, people are being equipped to communicate what they believe and why they believe it, so that we might impact a lost and searching world. So we must be members of a church that corporately worships God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word. A church in which we experience community, a common confession of faith. A church in which we experience oneness through the contribution of our time, our talent, and our treasure. In a church in which we are being equipped, not to be microcosms of the world, but rather change agents in the world. For more information on all of that, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll go right to the phone lines now. Talk to James, listening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, James.
How you doing? I appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I moved into this neighborhood, and I left my church, you know, because it was quite a distance away. And it was a corner church that me and my son started going to, and my granddaughter. And my son has kind of embraced this church. He doesn't do that too often, but he has. He goes every Tuesday and Thursday for the after-school program to help young kids with their homework. But this Sunday, the pastor had announced to the church that he voted for this change in their language of a pastor being a man of one wife or being celibate. And the language has now created a gray area that we're like, in fact, if a homosexual would like to become a pastor, that they would ordain him, or they would he would support that. And so me knowing that that is not what God would want for us, I'm faced with a decision now. You know, do I pull my son away from this church? Do I pull out? I like the congregation. It's a nice, small church, and I kind of feel like, you know, that's what I need. But with that being said, I want to be in a church that upholds God's word.
And that's the critical point. You have to either decide that you're going to follow a shepherd or be involved in a flock in which people take seriously the word of God. Because once political correctness trumps the word of God, there is no Christian faith. You not only blur, but you obliterate the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. The Bible is explicit in regards to same-sex sexuality. It is not something that we should embrace. Just like pastor standing up in a church and saying, you know what, there's nothing wrong with a man cheating on his wife. That may be something that the Bible talks about, but I happen to disagree with it. Now, we have to follow and take seriously the admonitions of Scripture, because the Bible does not condemn sexual sins in an arbitrary and capricious fashion. It carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy may be complete. And as a pastor, we should communicate clearly, because if we do not, we are allowing our sheep to experience the havoc that comes with sin. And I should also add that the common suggestion that Jesus was or might have been personally neutral or even affirming of homosexual conduct is revisionist history at its worst. All available evidence speaks to the contrary. While Jesus did not directly address incestuous, intergenerational, interspecies, same-sex sexuality, he clearly reaffirmed every jot and tittle of enduring moral law. And Paul, in the same way, derived his prescriptions against same-sex sexuality from the creation order of Genesis, as well as the prohibitions that we find in Leviticus. And he contended that even Gentiles without access to direct revelation of Scripture have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion to homosexual behavior. I want to make one more point. For a male to have same-sex intercourse with another male, as though the latter were not a male but a female, is distinctly forbidden by Scripture. And the Scripture is grounded in transcultural creation structures. And the closest analogies appear to be prescriptions with respect to incest, adultery, and bestiality. These are forms of sexual behavior that continue to be rejected by the contemporary communities of faith, and I think rightly so. So when a person says, I don't agree with this, they're certainly welcome to their opinion, but they are doing harm to their parishioners. Because once again, they're saying, I know better than God. So you have to, at the end of the day, say, is the Bible divine as opposed to merely human in origin, or is it singularly human? If it's singularly human, well, then our opinions may trump the opinions of the Bible. But if you can demonstrate that these are the words of God, that this is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, then we have to bow our knee to what God says rather than redefining under the pretext of political correctness what we want our churches to look like.
What he said was is that we will not judge these people. We'll let the Holy Spirit. So my question is, okay, will you let a murderer be a pastor? Would you let a known thief be a pastor? Would you let a man in an adulterous relationship, would you allow him to be a pastor? What he talks about is like sin is sin. I mean, and homosexuality is no worse sin than any other.
Well, it's true that sin is sin, but if you are saying as a pastor, look, we're going to ordain someone who is involved in a continual life of incest, or we're going to ordain a man that is involved in a continual life of adultery, would we ordain that man? Probably not. The same thing is true with a man who's involved in bestiality. All of these are grounded in the same prescriptions that homosexuality is grounded in. They're not the same, but they're grounded in the same prescriptions, which is to say God lays down parameters for our lives. He says this is the way it should be. If you violate this, you do so by doing violence to yourself. So the real issue, the core issue, is something that you already underscored, and that is the foundational thing that we should be discussing. Do you believe the Bible? If you believe the Bible, is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, then you bow your knee to its instructions because you say, God knows best. If you don't believe the Bible, well, then anything becomes permissible because now political correctness, popular sentiment becomes the determining factor. So now it is the greatest majority that defines what is true and what is right, as opposed to having a North Star to guide our behavior. So you can eliminate all the other talk about the different forms of sexuality and so forth. The real issue is, do you trust the Bible? If you trust the Bible, then there's a very clear imperative in terms of how we are to conduct ourselves sexually. Now, all of us fall. All of us are imperfect in thought, word, and deed. But we don't take people who say the Bible is not a standard or a guide for faith and practice and make them the leader, if you take the Bible seriously at all.
Right.
That just stands to reason. It's common sense. Written about this in a lot of different places, Has God Spoken, as well as the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. We'll be right back with more of your calls.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Bob listening in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Bob.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I called because I figured, you know, I could ask an expert, and I'm just a novice. But I've been to so many churches in 35 years, and I'm frustrated that I haven't been able to find one that it looks like the Bible. I'm not expecting necessarily that they should all wear, you know, shepherd's outfits and look like, you know, the Old Testament or even the New Testament. But the New Testament church, I have not seen one that looks like the New Testament. So I'm frustrated. And I've had some pastors that have looked at me like I'm divisive or, you know, I'm trying to be argumentative or I don't like their church. And there's been good things in every church I've been at, but it's like it's pieces. It's almost like I would have to put it together. I'd have to go to this church and this church and this church, and I wouldn't have time for every person's slice of the pie, so to speak.
Right. Well, you're never going to find a perfect church, and if you do, you're going to ruin it by joining. But here's the point. I think that you, again, want to look for the very items that I'm talking about. A lot of people will look at New Testament Christianity and say, there's no pastor-laity dichotomy, and therefore every pastor is, in fact, a parishioner who is operating with their gifts within the context of the church. And therefore, a parishioner is, in fact, a pastor. All of us should prophesy, not in the sense of foretelling the future, but in terms of forthtelling. The body should be involved in prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. We ought to be involved in one another's lives. That's delineated as clearly as we could possibly find it anywhere in Romans chapter 12. That, by the way, is a chapter of the Bible worth memorizing. And thirdly, again, as I mentioned at the opening of the broadcast, and it's fortuitous that you would call, we need to have a church that is equipping people to make an impact on the world. But there are no perfect churches. We do want to make sure that any church that we adhere to and support adheres to essential Christian doctrine, the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jeanette. She's listening in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi. I can't believe I'm on.
Well, it's nice to talk to you.
I'm a former Mormon. My family is very strong Mormons, and it's very difficult for me to discuss things with them, mostly because they just kind of look at me as, you know, I'm the one with the lesser knowledge. But my biggest issue is that they believe that they worship the same Christ, the same Jesus that I do. And it's that I think that the issue or the critical point is the fact that they believe that Jesus took on our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane as opposed to the cross. They say the work was completed on the cross, but they really believe that he took on the sins in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why they don't have crosses. And I just wanted to know if you had any kind of help available, answers available. My mother is 82 and running out of time.
Yeah, a couple of things I could suggest, Jeanette. One is a booklet that I put together called The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. I think that's a very helpful book because what I do is use the acronym doctrine as a template. doctrine codifies the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. And by virtue of this, you can see in a very simple way where Mormonism deviates from essential Christian doctrine, and then you can use those deviations as springboards or opportunities for sharing the truth and love and grace that only the real Jesus brings to the human heart. And I think you are wise to recognize exactly what you communicate in the prologue to your question, and that is that the Jesus of Mormonism is not the same Jesus as the Jesus of the Bible. They have a completely flawed view of God. And therefore, they're going to say that God himself was once as we are now. He's an exalted man. He sits enthroned in yonder heavens. And they will hold to a plurality of gods as a result of that and contend that as man is, God once was, as God is, man may become. And therein lies the problem. And I think ultimately, too, and you've touched on this in the prologue to your question, they have a flawed view of what heaven is. So as a Christian, we believe that we're going to stand before God dressed in the spotless robes of Christ's righteousness. As a Mormon, there is the contention that they will appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons, and they will hold their good works in their hands.
They're buried in fig leaf aprons.
Yeah. And according to Latter-day Saints, virtually everybody qualifies for heaven. It's just a matter of which heaven you go to. You can go to the celestial heaven on the lowest part of the totem pole, or you can go to the terrestrial heaven, which is a little higher up, or if you are a Mormon who is sealed in secret temple rituals, then you can make it to the third level, the celestial kingdom, and become a god of your own planet. But this is a completely different idea than the biblical idea. And oftentimes, what you have to do is recognize that it isn't your words, it is your love, it is your prayers that will allow God to bring people and circumstances into the life of your family members, particularly your 82-year-old mother, so that they might come to a true valuation of things. And the reason I say that is it's very difficult oftentimes for a daughter to witness to a mother. And so I would really equip yourself, as I'm sure you're pretty equipped already, but I would really continue to equip yourself on the one hand, but on the other hand, commit yourself to humble prayer. Because as I said, many times it's someone else that God chooses and uses to reach our family members.
Yes, I agree. I'm just hoping that my mother will run into somebody. But now, if I become a monthly torchbearer, could I get that book?
Yeah, in fact, hang on, and I will send the Mormon Mirage to you.
Okay, that's what I'd like to do.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Maria, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
My question is regarding dreams.
Yeah.
There's people at the church that I attend. I'm not Christian. I never say I'm Christian only because I feel I'm not living like a sanctified life, right? Like I believe in the Bible. I believe that it's truly the word of God and I believe in him. And I try to instruct my children into believing the faith as well. But I personally just don't think myself as a Christian just because I know I'm not doing everything right as I should be. But
Maria, let me stop you there for just a moment. I think there's a fault in your thinking here. The entrance requirement into the body of Christ is recognizing just what you said, that you're imperfect, that you can't ever attain to the standard of righteousness that God demands. And therefore,
yeah, I believe that.
Well, therefore, we appeal not to our own self-righteousness, but rather to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we embrace him, recognizing that we're sinners, repenting of our sins, and receiving Jesus Christ, then he covers us with his righteousness. And not only does that, but begins to sanctify us, which means the one who saves us also changes us. He's the one who conforms us to his image. So being a follower of Christ means that you say, I want Christ to change me. I want to repent and do it his way. I want him to be Lord and Savior of my life. And when you do, he will change you. But you'll never attain. You're always
going. I understand that. I totally believe what you're saying. It's just that I think I'm one of those people that want to be in the world and as well be part of God. You know what I mean? Like, I'm easily distracted to, you know, go to the movies or go to certain places where I know I shouldn't be. Do you know what I mean? So to me, a Christian is someone that does admit that we are sinners, but we are trying to sanctify just to reflect Jesus or God in our lives, right?
Yeah, but again,
that keeps falling back and forth cannot be a Christian. That's why I believe I'm not, right?
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to make to you, Maria, is that if you genuinely realize you're a sinner, if you're willing to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, He's the one who's going to change you. He's going to change your willer from one that follows the world to one who follows the world changer. So the big issue is to receive Jesus Christ, to be willing. He changes you. And there's nothing wrong with being involved in things like movies. I mean, there are bad movies and there are good movies. I remember watching a movie not long ago, Chariots of Fire, which I haven't probably seen in over a decade. And I was watching it and I was in tears because the Christian principles imbued in that movie are powerful. In our lives, they're transformational. I'm going to have to leave it at that because, unfortunately, we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks again for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I sure look forward to seeing you again on the next edition.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.